Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We count it an honor and a privilege to be here today, and this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We want to take just a moment to invite you to come be with us in any of our services. We do our best to make you feel at home, and we have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., our Sunday morning worship services at 11, and then on Wednesday nights at 7, we are studying through the book of Mark, and we always have prayer meeting on prayer meeting night on Wednesday night. We pray, and then we have a short Bible study. And so we'd love for you to come out and be with us. We have service every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m. And so lots of opportunities. We have Vacation Bible School going on this week. And so this is the week of the, well, today's the 16th. And we started on Sunday night. We'll finish up on Thursday night and have commencement on Friday night. But we'd still love for you to come out and join us in Vacation Bible School. It's not too late for that. We've been talking the past few weeks about a couple of different subjects. We talked about Americanism. We talked about patriotism a couple of weeks. We're going to go into a new study beginning today. But before we get started in that, I do want to welcome all of our listeners. Noah usually takes care of that, but he was not able to be here in the studio today. But all of our listeners here on WATA and then on Saturday mornings on WZAP 690 AM, and that is every Saturday morning at 9 AM, and then every Saturday. Also, we are on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And so we appreciate the church there. We appreciate the radio station, Brother Whittemore, and what good folks they are, and we love them in the Lord, and we appreciate the opportunity. But today I want to begin on a subject that I've been thinking about for a little while, and I started talking about it, teaching about it during Vacation Bible School, and I want to deal with the subject of personal finances. And I will say right off the bat that I'm no Larry Burkett or Dave Ramsey, and I am not an expert by any means. I was talking with somebody at church the other night, and we were talking about, for example, you have Dave Ramsey. He's on the radio every day for 2 or 3 or 4 hours. I don't even realize, don't even know exactly, but they have ministries, and that is all they talk about. That is all they deal with. So the subject is sort of like Blessings of Liberty, or you talk about our American history or the Constitution, what the Bible says about liberty. It is a unending subject, and we do not tend to make it an unending subject. That's not what we're going to cross over into is a radio ministry talking about finances, but the Bible does have a great deal to say about finances. And it does have a great deal. Money has a great deal to do with our liberty, with our freedom. Now, we're not going to talk about this nationally speaking. I have dealt with that a little bit in the past. But we're going to deal with it on a personal level, what it means to us personally. And we're going to start today in Proverbs chapter number 22. And verse number 6, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I was thinking about that verse. That goes the other way as well. If we said, "Train up a child in the way he should not go, when he is old, he will not depart from it." We learn from our parents, and then we repeat what we have learned from them. And for the most part, and studies have shown that where children learn about money the most of all is not in school, it's not in college, it's not in some class or something like that, but it is from our parents. Now, I took business classes when I was in high school, and I had to take financial classes when I was in the military, NCO school, and they taught about it and talked about it. But really, where I learned about money was from my parents, first of all. And that's where all of us learn about money, is from our parents. Then, as we grow up, we get older, we get a job, we start making money, we go out on our own, either in a career or to college or into the military. We start learning about money by trial and error. You know, we try this and we try that, and some things work and most things don't. And then as we go along in life, it's just a journey. And little by little over my life, I have come more and more, especially in the past several years, to really see things the Bible way. And the Bible way is the best way. And I am like a lot of people. I've made more mistakes and learned things the hard way than I have just by taking something at face value. Now, personal experience is a great teacher, but it does not always have to be that way. We have God's Word. We have the good advice and counsel of others that have been successful in something. And if we could learn from that, if we could learn that way, we would save ourselves a great deal of trouble. Now, I read Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, I've never noticed before the very next verse that these two verses in the book of Proverbs are linked together. The very next verse, after talking about training up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, the next verse says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Now, I have used both of those verses down through the years in preaching and teaching and writing, but I have never noticed that they were right beside each other in the Bible. Train up a child in the way she go. And then the very next verse talks about the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, that is a great verse, and it teaches us a great deal about money. Personally, nationally speaking, the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I got to thinking about this. If those two verses are linked together, they are linked together in the Bible for a reason. And I thought about this. If I had just one opportunity to talk to somebody about money and tell them something very important about personal finances, if I could give them some instruction or some advice on how to handle money, what would I tell them? If you had one shot, if you had just a few minutes, or if you had one verse out of the Bible that you could show somebody, that you could tell them something and hopefully influence their life for the better concerning personal finances, what would it be? There would be a great deal of things that you could talk to somebody about. You could talk to them about earning money. You could talk to them about spending money. You could talk to them about saving money. You know, our grandparents, they used to say, have little sayings about saving. A penny saved is a penny earned. You could talk to them about budgeting money. That is very important as well. You could talk to them about the value of money. We're going to talk about that in the days to come, about how do you actually get value for your money and what you buy and things you pay for. We could talk about giving money. Now, I know how people are. They say, well, that's all the preacher talks about. I hope that's not all your preacher talks about. Now, I'm a preacher and have been for many, many years now. And just to be honest, it is uncomfortable as a pastor, as a preacher, to talk about money, because you don't want to get that. You don't want to get that reputation, I guess. Well, that's all they talk about down there is money. If I talk about it, I've got a reason, and we're going to talk about it and go on. But we never harp on or just talk about money all the time. But if you could talk to somebody and you had 5 minutes, what would you tell them about money? If I had 5 minutes and I had one opportunity to talk to somebody about finances, about money, I believe I would use it as an opportunity to warn a person. And I believe I would use Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7. If I could tell you anything about money and I had one opportunity to do that, I would tell you, beware of borrowing money. If you like to be free, if you like to live your life, and, you know, people talk about I like to be my own boss. Do you want to be your own boss? Do you want to have real liberty in your life and freedom in your life and be able to do things when you want to be able to go on vacation, to be able to make a purchase when you need to do that? Do you want to be free? Do you want to have liberty? Then you had better beware of borrowing money, because here is what the Bible says. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, that word servant there, the word servant in the Bible, it means to be a slave. You become a slave to somebody else when you are indebted to them. And that does not matter if it is a car payment. It does not matter if it's a credit card payment. It doesn't matter if you've borrowed $50 off your parents. You may be their child and they love you and you love them, but the moment you borrow money off of somebody, or you borrow money, even if it's from a bank, and you say, well, I don't know anybody, you become their servant. And you are their servant until you pay that money back. The Bible is true when it says the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is a slave to the lender. You may borrow $50 off your parents. I'll use that for an example. Well, until you pay that back to them, if you say, hey, Mom, my wife and I, we're going out to eat tonight. Normally, she wouldn't think a thing about that. But if you owe them money, you know what they're going to think? And they may let you know what they think by how they look at you. Or they might even say something. Well, you don't need to be going out to eat until you've paid your debt back. And so the relationship changes when you become a borrower. You become a slave. You become a servant until you paid that back. Now, here is the danger of borrowing. The Bible does not absolutely forbid borrowing. And so, you know, I'll put it like this. It would be easier if there was an 11th commandment, you know, the 10 commandments. Well, it would be easier if there was number 11, thou shalt not borrow. But there is no such commandment in the Bible. The Bible just warns us about being a borrower and warns us about the danger of borrowing. But borrowing money, lending money, currency, and interest rates, all these things that have to do with finances, they have been around since the beginning of time. And we find very early on, I mean, you do not find society that does not have some way a system of banking or borrowing. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. Now, today's generation is different than a generation ago. Borrowing is actually more prevalent today than it has ever been in society. It is very easy to borrow. It is very easy, likewise, to get in debt. But once upon a time, even just a generation ago, and I can even remember this, I'm 45 years old, but I can remember growing up that banks encouraged opening a savings account. And a lot of times they would encourage children, young people, to come in and open up a savings account. And that is what the banks encouraged people to do. And they would even offer incentives to open up a savings account. I remember being a little boy and opening my mom, taking me and my brother and opening up a savings account, and we got a fancy little book. I wish I had that. I would love to find that and look at it. But you got a little book, a little register, and you started a savings account and what it, you know, your money, and then you could add to that. A lot of times banks would give away little gifts or little prizes if you would come in and open up a savings account. But it is no longer like that. Once upon a time, to get a loan, you had to go into the bank. You had to go up and you had to set in line. I've talked to different people before and they talk about going to the bank and they'd be lined up out in the hallway to go in and talk to the banker. You know, if you want to buy a car, if you wanted to borrow some money to put out a tobacco crop, that used to be a big thing once upon a time in the mountains of North Carolina. But you had to, if you wanted to borrow money, no matter what it was for, you had to go in, you had to talk to the banker. They had to know who you were. They wanted to know what kind of person you were. They wanted to know if you were able to pay the money back. And if you didn't, if you were not able, or they didn't think that you were able to pay it back, or there was a chance you may not pay it back, then you would have to get a cosigner. You'd have to get your dad. You'd have to get a friend. You'd have to get somebody to go to all the trouble to get dressed up, ride into town, go into the bank with you, and sign on the dotted line and become legally liable for your debt. So you were not just getting the bank involved, but you sometimes had to get another person involved. But that's what you had to do once upon a time to get a loan from a bank. But now, instead of encouraging people to open up savings accounts, it is very, very prevalent that banks encourage people to sign up for credit cards. So you see the difference. I mean, you can go, and we live in a university town. For our listeners that maybe are not familiar, but we live in a university town. Every fall when school starts back, you can go down to any bank in town and they are signing people up. They are offering young people, college students. Now, most college students have no income. You know, they're going to college. A lot of them, they had to get a loan to go to school. Or if they do have an income, it's a very low income, but they're not encouraging the students to save. They are encouraging. And boy, if you sign up for a credit card, you might get a T-shirt. Isn't that a great deal? But see, it's changed so much in our society. They offer credit cards. And the thing about a credit card is nobody cares what you spend your money on as long as you make those advertised low monthly payments, as long as you pay the minimum payment on a credit card. You know, when we're talking about using a credit card, it's not like it was years ago. People went to the bank to buy a car. They went to the bank to get a loan to plant a crop. But with a credit card, there's nobody to go to. There's nobody looking over your shoulder. Nobody cares if you're putting pizza on a credit card, if you're putting groceries on a credit card, if you're putting gas on a credit card. There's no oversight. But nevertheless, the borrower becomes servant to the lender. Now, it depends on what website you go to try to find this information out. But the average, and I found several different figures for credit card debt, but the average American household just on a credit card, different websites said different things. One website that was not associated with credit cards said the average American owes $7,327 on a credit card. Now, websites that were tied into credit cards, of course, they had the number much, much lower. One as low as about $1,100. Then I seen figures for $5,200 and $3,600. And so it's like the old saying, liars always figure and figures always lie. How much does the average American owe on a credit card? I have no idea, but I believe it's safe to say a lot, thousands and thousands of dollars. I found this on the internet. Credit card debt is the third largest household debt, and that is behind a mortgage and student loans. Now, I never had a student loan, but evidently there's a lot of people get out of college and get started in life, and for years after they get out of college, they are paying back student loans. And of course, you would have to also figure in most people that just do not live in a big city would have a car payment of some kind. So we're talking about debt. And the Bible says the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. There are thousands of stories of people that have got in over their heads debt-wise, and credit cards and interest and all these things, student loans and mortgages and car payments, and these things have just literally eat them up, and they get to the point of being just absolutely hopeless that they would ever be able to pay it back. And so if we could take just a few minutes and warn somebody or talk to somebody about money, about personal finance, I feel like that I would have to warn them about getting in debt, how dangerous it is. Here's another verse in the Bible that's good to look at. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 7, the Bible says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Now, when we apply that to the subject of debt, debt only gives the illusion of being wealthy, but not the reality of being wealthy. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. You can have nice cars on debt. You can have a big, fine, nice home on debt. You can buy clothes and watches and jewelry, and you can eat in fancy restaurants. You can do all those things on credit. You can do all those things and use a credit card, but actually have nothing. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Here's how we are. We see somebody that has a big fancy vehicle, and we say, wow, they must be rich. They must be doing well. But it might be that they just have, they're just living on credit. And a lot of these fancy vehicles running up and down the road are not paid for. They are being paid for. And so somebody gets a new car, and you say, oh, I see you have a new car, and they'll say, well, it's mine in the banks. Well, truth be known, it's more the banks than theirs, because the bank paid the thing for the thing when it was bought, and they're paying for 5 years, 6 years. I think now you can get a car payment up to 7 years into the future. So you can make yourself rich. You can make yourself look like you're rich, but have nothing. But then the second part of that verse, it says, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Now, that verse, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. If you have a Subaru, now a Subaru is not a Cadillac, and I have a Subaru, so that's what I'm going to use as an example. A Subaru is a great car. And but it's not top of the line, you know. It's not a Ferrari. It's not a Cadillac. It's not a, you know, it's a basic, especially here in the mountains, a all year round good choice for a vehicle. But if you have a 1999 Subaru, and it is paid for, you have something. you actually have more than the person driving around in a brand new $50,000 SUV that is not paid for. You have something. It is yours. They are paying on it. Many people used to years ago, and I don't know how prevalent it is now, but the car companies came up with this thing of leasing a vehicle. You can get in more of a car and pay less. You know, only thing, you got to turn it in 3 years, and you got to turn it back in immaculate condition, and there's only so many miles, you know, but you can have the impression, boy, that you're just doing so well. But when it's said and done, you've got nothing. At the end, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. If you live your life, and here's another way that our society encourages debt. You know, if you look at cars, for example, commercials, they're not advertised on how much a car costs, but how much a payment is. You can get into this, and it'll only cost you $424 a month. You can get this, and it'll only cost you $399 a month. That is the mindset. Not have this, buy this, pay for this, but can I afford it a month? Can I go in debt for it? Can I afford the payment? And so there's a lot of things in our society that encourages being in debt, but being in debt is not being free. And the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, debt is very deceptive, and it comes in all shapes and sizes and forms, and sometimes it is very cleverly disguised. And it looks appealing, and it even looks like it makes sense. Oh, this, you know, use other people's money. That's a smart thing to do. But debt, and I've heard this in days gone by, debt is a tool. But I would say this, debt is not a tool. Debt is gambling. Anytime you go in debt for anything, you are taking a gamble. You are hoping to be able to pay that back, to pay it on time, to make your payments, and you know, a lot of times it works out. But if you've ever been in the position where it didn't work out, you see how damaging debt can be. But people say, oh, debt is a tool. It takes money. You got to spend money to make money, and all these kinds of things. But debt is a huge risk, and you are putting your life on hold as a servant, as a slave, until you've paid that back. And that works with credit cards, credit lines, car payments. Oh, there's a multitude out there that has got really messed up, taking out a second mortgage on their house to go on a vacation, to buy a car, to remodel, things like that. You can literally lose everything you've got by going in debt. The Bible talks about other forms of debt. That would be surety. The Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 15, or verse number, well, let me just look here. I'm going to get messed up. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about surety as well. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 18, a man void of understanding striketh hands and become a surety in the presence of his friend. And what that is becoming legally liable for somebody else's debt. That's signing a note. And the Bible says a man void of understanding does that. Well, I look up at the clock, and our time is quickly gone by today. But there's a lot of ways to get in debt. Payday loans, pawning things, cash advances, 90 days, same as cash. Lottery tickets, scratch tickets, all these things. Somebody said the lottery is a tax on poor people and people who can't do math. And how true that is. Well, there's a lot of things. We're going to talk about this for several weeks now. We're going to talk about personal finances and how that corresponds to our liberty. So I hope you'll be able to tune in every week. This has been the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. You can look us up on our website, mtlebanon.org. bannonbc.org. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, and God bless you.